Well, good morning, Crosswater. How are you? Good to see you. I want to really make mention of that weekend that you just saw about. We have a lot going that weekend. Let me tell you everything that's happening on the last weekend in August. So on that Saturday, starting out on the Saturday, Pastor Bob and the Lightkeeper Ministry, this is 55 and older, they're going to Savannah, Georgia, for the day, a day trip to have fun. Is that right, Bob? Am I understanding that correctly? I didn't think that 55 and plus could have fun. I'm just kidding. I love you, Bob. I love you. No, you want to be a part of this, okay? Because it's going to be a great day, a lot of fun. And so if you want to go with the Lightkeeper Ministry up to Savannah. Look, Savannah's a great place. My wife is born and raised there. So I've been there. They got a lot of good food. You want to go and be a part of that. That's on the Saturday. You can sign up today out in the lobby. And then on Sunday of that week, so on the 25th, I think the 24th is the trip. The 25th is Sunday. That's going to be a special day, because we've got our missionary is going to be with us that day. So several years ago, Crosswater commissioned a couple, a man and a woman named Jeremy and Maria Foster, to go down to Honduras to be missionaries. They were just like me and you. They didn't speak Spanish. They didn't have any desire to go to be missionaries, but God called them. They answered the call. And they went, and they've been serving down in Honduras ever since with a mission group where they work with these young boys. It's like an after-school program where they come in and they teach them how to play soccer, and they have a great discipleship program where they really raise up and train up these young men. And they're playing the long game. You know, they want these kids to grow up and be like Jesus so that they can, through those indigenous efforts, change culture where they are. And so Jeremy is going to be with us that day on Sunday of that weekend on the 25th. I'm going to invite him up to the stage, and he's going to share a little bit about their ministry. And then the next day is our golf tournament. And that is a tournament that we are doing that is all the attention is being put on our missions ministry here at Crosswater. You know, we believe that God has called us to go into the world and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we do that here, but we want to do it everywhere. And our golf tournament has been very successful. It's going to be all proceeds will be going to our missions ministry and our other mission partners. Jeremy will be at the golf tournament. He will actually be playing in a group at the tournament. It'll be great. But I have a very positive update for you about our tournament. When we started this thing, we needed 88 golfers. And we had a goal of raising $20,000 for our missionaries and our mission partners. So at this point, we have like over 100 golfers signed up, ready to play. And we have, at this point in time, over $22,000 already raised for our missions. So praise God for that. And thank you to the church for just your generosity and your commitment to that. Man, that's great. I'm excited. I can't wait. I am the worst golfer ever. I'm not kidding. But I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to have fun. You know, I'm taking fun very seriously on that day, because it's going to be great. But no, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great weekend. So hope you're with us at the end of August for all of that that's going on. If you have your Bible, please turn with me this morning to Judges chapter 11. The book of Judges, chapter 11. So we have been discussing over the past few weeks. I had this idea several months ago, where I was thinking about how we have a limitless God. God is an all-powerful God. He is limitless. There is no end to His glory, to His power, to His knowledge, to His who He is. He is infinite. He is limitless. But yet when I look around my life, I see nothing but limits. I see limitations in my life. I see some limitations in my time. I see limitations in my talents and my finances. And everything in life seems that there's limitations around. And so how is it that we have a limitless God, yet we face limits all day long in life? And I really think it comes down to the fact that it's because we spend so much of our time looking at this life, and we don't look at it through the spiritual lens of the life to come. That's really the solution to it, is do we have the mind of Christ? As the Bible says, do we set our minds on things above? That's what the Bible tells us to do. And that's really how we see things from God's perspective, that when you see your life from God's point of view rather than our own, we start seeing how God has a great plan for us. And today we're going to conclude this series. Next week, I'm excited, we're going to start a pretty in-depth study starting next Sunday through the book of Ephesians. It's going to be about a two-month study, and we're going to go verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. And it's going to be a very interesting look. But before we get there, I want us to look at Judges 11. Now, this is one of the hardest scriptures in the Bible to read. It really is. And I don't mean that because it's got big words that we can't understand. I mean that because of what happens in this story. So I want you to follow along and read with me this morning. We're going to be reading in Judges chapter 11, beginning in verse 29. Here's what it says. Then the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed on to Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he passed on to the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will give the Ammonites into my hand, then whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the Ammonites shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah crossed over to the Ammonites to fight against them, and the Lord gave them into his hand. And he struck them from Aroer to the neighborhood of Minnith, 20 cities, and as far as Abel Karim with a great blow. So the Ammonites were subdued before the people of Israel. Then Jephthah came home to Mizpah, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with tambourines and dances. She was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And as soon as he saw her, he tore his clothes and he said, alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You have become the cause of great trouble for me. For I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot take back my vow. And he said to him, my father, you have opened your mouth to the Lord. Do according to me what has gone out of your mouth, now that the Lord has avenged you on your enemies, on the Ammonites. So she said to her father, let this thing be done for me. Leave me alone 2 months, that I may go down on the mountain and weep for my virginity, I and my companions. So he said, go. Then he sent her away for 2 months, and she departed, she and her companions, and wept for her virginity on the mountains. And at the end of the month, she returned to her father, who did to her according to his vow that he had made. She had never known a man, and it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went year by year to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, for 4 days of the year. Would you pray with me? Father, as we open your word, what a challenging scripture to consider this morning. A scripture where there's a vow made, there's a commitment made to you, and that commitment was tested. Lord, as we are concluding our thoughts on what does it mean to have a limitless God, it means that we need to respond to you with the greatest level of commitment that we can possibly offer. We thank you, Lord. Help us today as we study your word. Help us be committed to the cause of Christ above all things else. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Commitment. That's what we're talking about today. And talk about a story where commitment was challenged, where it was truly challenged. I mean, here you've got a guy that is leading God's people at this point in Israel, and there was this enemy that they faced, an opponent out there that was a historical stumbling block for Israel. You know, this wasn't the first time they show up in the scriptures, and it's not the last. And as God is leading the people, Jephthah goes to God and says, God, let me make a deal with you. Now, this really gets you to question making deals with God, right? Like, you better make sure your deals are on the up and up if you're going to make a deal with God. So Jephthah goes and says, God, let's make a deal. Whatever comes out of my house, I'm going to offer as a burnt sacrifice. Now, why would he do that? What does that mean? Well, typically in this day, He was referring to any kind of animals, livestock, things in his house that may be there, right? He's probably thinking when he's making this commitment with God, he's thinking, okay, maybe there's some chickens that may run out, or there's a sheep or a goat or a cow, or there's some kind of animal that's going to run out, and since that'll be my sacrifice to God, I will go ahead and commit to sacrificing that to God today. So he goes off, he wins the battle, God makes good on his word. Praise God that God always makes good on his commitments to us. So he comes home thinking that, okay, here comes the sheep or here comes the chicken. And what comes out of his house but his daughter? And you've got to just imagine that when that happened, his face probably dropped and he was probably immediately troubled. He was in agony over this, that his commitment was being challenged to this degree. And I want you to see the response of his daughter here, man. It's just unbelievable how she confirmed the commitment, didn't she? She said, you've got to keep your commitment to the Lord. She says, Dad, you made this commitment to God, and that is the most important thing we can ever do in our life is make a commitment to the Lord. I mean, and really, that is the reality of where we are. How do we unlock the limits that we face to see what an unlimited God is all about? It's by us making to God the highest and best commitment that we can make to him. I mean, really, what is the best thing you can ever accomplish in your life? What's the best thing I could ever accomplish in my life? What's the best thing this church could ever accomplish? It wouldn't be to fill it up with every seat full. It wouldn't be to have the best music or the best preacher, obviously. The best commitment you can make would be a commitment. The best accomplishment we could have for God would be to give God our greatest commitment. Right? That is what it's about. It's about giving him our greatest commitment. We need to be a people, a church, families, that above all else, what do we value? We value commitment to God. That is the number one priority in our life, and that those commitments are going to be unwavering. I want you to see just a couple of things in this scripture that I think help us understand the commitment that Jephthah and his daughter had made. The first is what I'm just generally calling a full commitment. Right? The first thing that we have to offer God is a full commitment. Notice that when Jephthah made this agreement with God, when he made this commitment, it was whatever comes out. It was my whole life. I'm not going to give you just a part of it. I've got to give you all of it, because a partial commitment is not really a commitment. I mean, think about that. A partial commitment is not really a commitment anyway. It's just an afterthought. It's just you know, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. He gave God a full commitment. And it's a good thing that he did, because we wouldn't be here today talking about this story that happened thousands of years ago if a partial commitment had been made. He made a full commitment not knowing what the future would hold. He made a full commitment that wasn't this bargaining chip with God. You know what? I think God, and now I'm talking on God's behalf, so I can't prove what I'm about to say, but I think it's possible that God may not have agreed to this negotiation if it had been a partial commitment. I think God responds to our prayers and to our lives when our commitment to him is full, not when it's partial. Maybe that's one of the reasons our prayers don't seem to be answered the way we want them to sometimes, is because maybe we're praying out of a heart of a partial commitment instead of a full commitment. Jephthah offers a full commitment to God, and God accepted that commitment and gave a full one right back. And that's the thing. Praise God that even when our commitments aren't full, which I've been there many times where I've given God a partial commitment, thank God that he is a God of full commitment to us, that his promises always stand and they're always true, that they hold up always. Let's talk about this practically. Let's talk about how practically in life we see partial commitments. You know, I was thinking about our favorite season is coming up, right? I mean, football season is right around the corner. I mean, let's be honest. All right, let's talk about what really matters here today, football. So let's just say, you know, you're getting all excited about rooting for your favorite team. So you'll pull for the Jags until they play that team. You know, that's the way it is in Jacksonville. You root for the Jags until they play your team. But then you'll be all excited and you're rooting, and we want the Jags to win. You know, it would be great for the Jags to win this this year. It would be great. I would love to see it. It's always an exciting time when the town gets all, if you're new to Jacksonville, if the Jags can get on a run, just be expecting an exciting, you know, town when things start going. But here's the thing. Let's say you are Trevor Lawrence. Now, I don't quite have the same haircut, but or lack thereof the cut. But let's say you're Trevor Lawrence and you are signing up to be the quarterback for the Jags. You know what? I guarantee you that the only way they would let him play as their quarterback is if he offers them a full commitment. I mean, think about it. Are the Jags going to let Trevor Lawrence play as their quarterback if he says this? Okay, I will show up to, you know, some of the practices, but I just can't commit to all practice. Or, you know what, since I'm so good, I don't really need to even show up to practice. You know, I'm just going to show up on Sundays because I'm good enough. I don't really need to practice. It's probably not a commitment they're going to accept, right? Like, the only way he's going to play as a quarterback of the Jags is with a full commitment. What if he came up and said, you know what, I don't really need to even show up early to do like the stretching and the warm-ups before games. I'm just going to show up right at 1 o'clock or whatever time the game starts and I'll be ready for kickoff. You know, like, it's not going to happen. Why? Because the Jags don't value a partial commitment. They know that the only chance that they have of winning a Super Bowl is if every person on the team, including the quarterback, offers a full commitment. Now, what does this mean? It means that there are things in life that we don't have a problem giving a full commitment to. Sports, right? Things that we are interested in. But yet there's other things in life that we do have a problem giving a full commitment to. And let me give you an example of that. It's kind of like sports teams and going to church. You know what? It's like when you sign up to play, and this is on the professional level, if you're Trevor Lawrence signing up with the Jags, or if you're on the little league level. When you sign up, when you make a commitment to be on the team, you're expected to be there, right? You're expected that you're going to be there on time. You're expected to be there, you know, in person. You got all the gear with you. You can't show up to a football practice, even if you're in Little League, without a helmet on and no gear with you, right? Like, there's a commitment involved to it, and it's like the expectation is you're going to be there, and it's just expected that's the way it's going to go. But here's something I've noticed. Just something I've seen over time. Church is very different than that. It's like going to church and serving the Lord and being a part of a Christian community and doing what God wants us to do seems like there's not nearly this strict obligation or commitment required. It's almost like when it comes to the things of God, it's much more optional. Let me give you an example of this. Every fall, we have an issue at our church. Here's the issue. Every fall, we have on Wednesday nights here, we have a kids program called Awana, and we have a student ministry. And here's some of the students down here. And here's what I notice every year. We start out really strong, right? We have a bunch of kids that sign up for Awana. And Awana is a program that we have that's actually like a club because they get vests and badges and all this stuff. So people even have to pay, like, I think it's around $100 to be a part of that club, right, to come to Awana. So it's like we show up in the fall to be a part of these different, we're committing to be a part of these things, and then it starts strong, and then what happens as soon as ball time rolls around? It's like the commitment we made at the church is no longer as important as the commitment to sports. It seems like that comes in and is a more important commitment. It's almost like signing up and even paying money to be a part of a church is almost like it's just more optional than it would be to go play a sport or do something else. Now, what am I saying? Am I harking on the fact that people will waver in their commitment? That's not what this is about. What this is about is if we can't even be committed to putting God first at church, then are we really committed to putting Him first in life? Because that's really what it comes down to. And it's not even just that, right? It's not even just like this commitment to show up and be involved. I think it's actually worse than that. Do y'all know what island time is? You know what island time is? Let me show you a picture, all right? I got a picture of island time. So this picture was taken in June of 2012, all right? there's my sister on the left, there's my wife, there's me in a former self, this was in 2012, and there's my dad. And we're in, this is a vacation that we were on down in the Virgin Islands. We were on St. Thomas. And this was like 1 week before my daughter was born. So right when we got back from this trip, we went to St. Pete and picked up our daughter from the hospital. And so here we are, we're in front of this little restaurant. And what's funny about this is my wife had called and said, hey, we want to make a reservation at 6 o'clock. Now we're in the Virgin Islands on St. Thomas. I learned what island time was at night. Here's what happened. We got there, we're out front, we're goofing around. We go in, we're here, and we're probably a little early because, you know, I've got to eat, man. So we get in there, we walk up. Oh, we'll get to you when we get to you. I'm like, no, I made a reservation. You'll get to me at 6 o'clock at the time of the reservation, you know, because I'm hungry. Probably 7 o'clock, we finally sat down. You know what I'm saying? We've probably finally ate around 8 o'clock. Like, we were on island time, and we got a swift lesson that night that when you're on the island, things move at a different pace. Now, we're in Florida, so we're not quite island time. Let's call it more beach time, right? So why is it then that if we say the things that are matter the most in life, I'm just finding this disconnect, church, and I'm preaching to myself here this morning. Why is there this disconnect? We say God is the most important thing ever, but we can't show up to church on time. We have no problem getting to the ball game on time. We have no problem leaving church early to get to the ball game. But we can't take the things that are most important and offer a full commitment to those things. Maybe the issue is simply the priority of our commitments in our life. Maybe the way I'm looking at it is maybe there's one of three things awry. Maybe we're either overcommitted, we're undercommitted, or we're miscommitted, right? Maybe overcommitment means we have taken on so many commitments that we let the thing go that has the least amount of consequence. Church, serving, doing God things, reading our Bible, having a devotion at home with our family. We're too tired from work. Well, maybe we'll do that. Maybe I'll read my Bible tomorrow. Right? It's like we allow the other commitments. We could be overcommitted. Maybe that's one problem that we face. Maybe one would be an undercommitment, right? Maybe we just don't want to make any commitments, and so we don't really commit to the things of God because we know there's other things in life that we have to do, so we're going to undercommit on the things of God because we're not sure really what that would affect anyway. No wonder we deal with the limits of this life. If we can't give God a firm commitment, we deal with the limits of this life. Maybe we have a miscommitment. Maybe we're committed to something only in as far as we can get something out of it. Look, if you're committing to Jesus because of whatever he can give you back, that's a miscommitment. We don't commit to him because he's given us heaven. We commit to him the way that Peter did. He said, where else can I go, Lord? Only you have the words of eternal life. Why should we be committed to the Lord? It's because he gave us life. That's why we should be committed to him. He made us. Now, this sounds harsh, and I want you to hear me today. I'm not trying to be harsh with my words this morning. I really don't want that. I truly want to be speaking out of a heart of love. What is love? It's the equal balance of grace and truth, right? That's what it is. It kind of reminds me, somebody told me a story of a guy that his wife took him to church, and the preacher got up there and he preached this hardcore message about you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell when you die. And so he left the church, and he said, that was terrible. I felt so insulted and hurt with what that guy was saying. He didn't relate to me. There was no grace in it at all. It was all truth. He said, I'm not going back to church. So for a couple years, the wife kept going to church without him. And then 3 years later, the church got a new pastor. And so the wife was like, please come and just hear the new pastor. Maybe you'll stay, you know? Maybe you'll have a better experience. So finally the guy went back years later to the church, and the pastor gets up and preaches on hell again. Same Sunday. And the whole time she's over there thinking, oh my goodness, why of all Sundays, my husband's been so burned, no pun intended. He's been so burned over this. He's finally back in church and he's preaching on hell. At the end of the service, the guy gets up out of his seat, goes down, shakes the preacher's hand, and accepts Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And afterwards, the wife is like, what is going on here? How is this possible? And he said, well, the first guy made me feel like he wanted me to go there, and the second preacher wanted to keep me from going there, right? That's the difference. And that's what I really pray that I'm, because this is a personal struggle here. As your pastor, I love you. And I know that the best we're going to ever be for our families and for our lives and for each other is when we're not letting the team down. We're not letting each other one down. I mean, think about Trevor Lawrence. If he just decides to not be committed to the Lord and just to not show up, it doesn't just affect him. He's now letting the team down. And that's why we want to be as loving with each other as we can be. What is love? It's the equal balance of grace and truth, right? It's saying to each other, I love you, brother. And so I'm going to be as forgiving and gracious and merciful as I can be. But here's the truth of it. And the truth is God wants people that value commitment to him above all else. Jephthah and his daughter. Why are we talking about them thousands of years later? Because they gave God a full commitment. And second thing I noticed in that scripture was they gave God a faithful commitment. Now, it's a little different than a full commitment. A full commitment says, okay, God, take all of me. As hard as it may be, as challenging as that may be, I'm giving you all that I am. I'm fully committed. But secondly, I saw a faithful commitment in that story. What is that? Well, a few times you see the word vow. Vow. He says, Jephthah says, well, I made a vow to God. His daughter reminded her, hey, you made a vow to God. At the end, he says it again. He says, because of my vow to God. And what's a vow? Well, if you've been married, you probably know what vows are, right? I mean, why do you share vows at a wedding with your spouse? Why do you do that? You know, like, what's the purpose of vows? The traditional vows go something like this. For better or worse, for richer or poorer, for sickness and health, right? Why do you need vows? Do you need vows to get to the wedding? Not really. Think about this for a minute. You don't really need vows at the wedding, you know, because you're there for because she's pretty or because she makes great food that you like to eat and you want to get as much of that as you can get, right? That's me. You know, like it wasn't hard to get me to the wedding, right? That was the easy part. Vows aren't to get you there. Vows are to keep you there, right? So that when it gets hard, you're going to stay committed. You can say on your wedding day, many people do. They say on their wedding day, I'm giving a full commitment to my spouse. And that lasts for a time until the honeymoon period kind of subsides. And you start noticing that the food isn't quite as good and he doesn't look quite as good and he's eating too many donuts and now see a donut growing on his waist. You know, like there's all these reasons why, like, it gets hard. Vows aren't for the easy times, they're for the hard times. And see, that's what vows are all about. In a marriage, they're about about the faithfulness of the union, of the commitment, to keep you in there when it's hard, because it's never going to be easy. That's why vows are important. For better or worse, for richer or poorer, for sickness and health. It's for the hard times. And so the question is, in this story that we read, how were those vows important? Because, man, Jephthah got hit with the hardest time he could possibly face in his commitment to his daughter and his commitment to the Lord. I mean, that is a shockingly challenging situation to be in. But because he had made a vow, a faithful vow, he was willing to keep that vow. Listen, are we that faithfully committed to the Lord, that regardless of the hard time, we're going to do the godly thing? Regardless of the paycheck, we're going to tithe? Regardless of the events of the week, we're going to serve? Regardless of the challenges that we face, we're going to be involved in what God wants us to do? It's easy to say I'm fully committed on day one. It's a lot harder years down the road. But the value of a commitment, of a true commitment to God, is when it's a faithful commitment. It's a commitment that sticks it out through the hard times, that's willing to be there even when it's challenging. And let me just say this. This is the value of the Christian community, of looking at your faith not as just something you go and do, but who you are. Right? If to you, faith is just something you go and do. Hey, I went to church today. I have good faith. If that's the way you look at it, I think there's a missing component of commitment there. Why? Because faith is bigger than that, and it's more helpful than that, right? You're going to face a hard time as a couple, as a family, as a Christian. You're going to face a hard time. And so there's going to be a time when you need a community of people to help you in those times, right? When it gets hard, when it's challenging, you're going to need people around you to help you. And listen, church, that's why we have community groups here. It's why we have it in the name of our church. It's because we want a community, a place where people can come and be with other believers so that when the challenging times arise, which they will, there'll be a vow that helps through the faithful season. And that's a great segue to my announcement of we're launching our community groups in September. We're looking for hosts and leaders. Leaders are people that would say, hey, I'll be willing to lead a group. Hosts are people that say, I can open up a space for a group. That could be one and the same, or that could be separate. But if you're wanting to sign up to help us with that, that would be tremendous. We want rock solid community groups. Why? Because that shows the level of commitment that we have to the Lord. There's a full commitment to God in this story. There's a faithful commitment to God in this story with the vows. And there's one other thing I noticed in here. It's what I'm calling a future commitment. Now, did you see what happened at the end of the story? After the commitment was made and he got home and he saw the daughter and that was a sad moment, what did she say? Man, the faith of the daughter is just remarkable in this story. Talk about sometimes out of the mouth of babes. I mean, this guy was humbled by his daughter here. But did you see what she said? She said, she had a request. She said, Dad, can I go and hang out with my friends for a couple of months? And then I'll come back and then we'll fulfill the commitment to God. And he says, okay. So did you see what happened? After she came back and they fulfilled the commitment, it says that for every year moving forward, there were 4 days out of the year where other ladies would come and they would memorialize that commitment. What do I mean by a future commitment? Listen, when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, here's what happens. Not just committing to show up to church, committing to Christ. When you commit to Christ, here's what happens. There's a future component to that. What do I mean? It changes culture and it changes the future. It literally affects what's going to happen. I mean, think about it. If you decided today, I'm going to get my life right with Jesus, is that going to affect anything? It absolutely will. It'll affect your life, first and foremost, but it'll affect your family too. Why? Because you'll now start doing things that you didn't do before. You'll start living in a way that's foreign to maybe those who even know who you are. It's going to make a difference in your community, in your school, in your workplace, in your family, man. The commitment of a person doesn't matter the age. Here's a little girl that had a commitment. Do you understand? We're here talking about what a little girl did 4,000 years ago. That right there proves that when you make a godly commitment, it's going to change things, man. It's going to affect the future. You know what our mission is? It's to empower families to find our purpose in Christ. It's to go into the world and make disciples. And so how can we best do that? What is the thing that we can do today to best accomplish our mission? I would tell you this. It's to be fully committed to Christ. To say, God, I'm giving you a full commitment, a faithful commitment, and a future commitment that whatever is coming, I'm wanting to live my life for him. You see, it makes a difference. When, you know, I am a seventh generation pastor in my family. God help my sons. That's all I'm going to say about it. But do you understand how 7 generations ago, I don't even know the guy's name, but some great-great-great-great-grandfather of mine decided he was going to be a pastor, that he was going to give a full commitment to the Lord. And look how that has shaped not just my life, but so many other lives of people that have interacted with God's word being proclaimed out of that calling from God. Listen, if you give God a full commitment today, here's what he will do. He will automatically give you a full commitment. That's going to happen. And you know what? I want to close with this. There's really 2 thoughts to this. Is that when you give God a full commitment. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's where it begins. It starts with you saying, look, God, it's time for me to initiate this relationship with you. Not go jump through a religious ritual, but to initiate a relationship by saying, God, I have sinned and I am not in your family. I am not following your ways for my life. But God, today, I'm not coming with half of me. I'm coming with all of me, and I'm laying it down. Here's what the Bible says. When you do that, God does two things. He creates a covenant with you. Now, that's a big word that simply means a permanent relationship. That's really what it means. He creates a covenant, a permanent relationship, where he's never going to let you go. There's a covenant to that commitment. So not only are you committing to him to live for him, he's committing this covenant with you, and that's awesome. But there's a second thing. He also gives you a contract. He doesn't only give you a covenant, he also gives you a contract, literally a handwritten contract. Did you know that? When you accept Jesus, he gives you a handwritten contract. The Bible says that when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, make a commitment to following Christ, that God writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That there is a covenantal and a contractual relationship, commitment from God to you. Man, I don't know of any more inspiring reason why we should be fully committed to Christ than the fact that he's fully committed to us. He's so committed, he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, and he continues living with us today. I ask you this question, Crosswater. I want to challenge you with this, actually, as we close. I want to challenge you with this. I got a practical action step for you to take today. Because it doesn't benefit us just to sit in here and talk about, hey, we should be committed to God. That doesn't, and then leave. That doesn't benefit us at all. I've got an actual practical action step. Here it is. I'm challenging you and myself. I'm going to go home and do this tonight. And I'm challenging you to do this also. To go home and sit down with whoever is in your family. If it's just you, great. It's you and God. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your kids or your grandkids. Whoever it is. Sit down and have a conversation about evaluating your commitments. I mean, how often, if we really want one day to have kids that are worshiping Jesus and making a difference in the world for him, and we think that's just going to happen without us making a commitment today, it probably never will. I guarantee you Trevor Lawrence didn't just wake up one day and they invited him to be the quarterback. There was a long road that got him to that point. So here's the challenge. Go home and talk with your family, whoever that may be, about what commitments you as a family or as an individual, are going to place of highest priority. It's easy to say God is the most important thing in our life, and our commitments not reflect that. But it's entirely different when we sit down with the people we love the most and say, you know what? With your kids watching, you lead the way. And they see how you are valuing and committing to the things that are most important. Watch how God's going to start changing your kids' minds or your neighbor's minds or your coworkers' minds or your classmates' minds. Are you fully, faithfully, and future committed to Christ? Would you pray with me? Father, to challenging scripture, to see and read and hear about how a man and his daughter were so committed to you, not even to each other, but to you, and how that commitment made such a global impact. Father, we've been talking a lot about missions here at our church, and it's awesome. I love to see all the work that has been put in for missions. But God, I know where that starts. It starts right in our hearts and our homes. Being fully committed to the cause of Christ. Lord, for that person here today that has not accepted you, I pray, Lord, that they will engage in the greatest commitment of all time when they confess their sin and accept you as Savior and Lord. Lord, maybe that person is here and they follow you, but they know that their commitments in life are not matching up with the commitments of that you would have for them. Maybe their worldly commitments have superseded their heavenly commitments. God, my prayer this morning is that our commitment, my commitment to you, God, would be one of full totality. That it would be faithful, that there would be a vow made that I'm going to serve and honor God even when it's hard. And God, that what I commit to today is going to last and impact others for years to come. Father, thank you for loving us and blessing us today. I pray that every person and family in this room will evaluate their commitments and put you at the top.